It's not a time where we're going to feel sorry for ourselves. We'll find our way through this. It's going to make it all the much more sweeter when we get to where we want to go.
Martinez back on the track. Near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo. Nosy Blows Scopolo. He hits a home run on line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam. Now takes a 6-4 lead.
Kepler lines that in the air to left center. Hicks on the run, dives, and he made the catch! He made the play! Oh my goodness, what a catch from Aaron Hicks to end it!
In that sense, both looking forward to making a deep run into postseason and ultimately bringing home the title back to New York.
You know, there's a lot to discuss.
Yeah, this is like a big episode. Like,
oh no, this is a huge one. It's been a couple of weeks since our last episode.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm gonna test out some different things right now. Hold up, just while we have some time.
Yeah, go for it. We got time to experiment
a
little.
That one looks cool because it makes me look the best.
Oh wow! Okay, that's wow.
We'll keep Tom as the biggest one, and then me and Luke can be small.
Yeah,
like
it's all about the ego.
I like this one better. This one's the best.
Yeah, this is probably the way to roll.
Leave us even.
We're all leave us even. All right. So yeah, whenever you guys are ready to start, I'm gonna check the chats and see who's in, who's not in, and then gonna beat up whoever's not in.
All right, perfect.
We already got a like. Very nice. We already got a like. So
very good.
You know, and it wasn't even from me. So
wow, that's huge.
That's huge. It's big. And then we're streaming on our Twitter account as well.
Yes. I'm looking at that right now.
Yep.
So, and there are 7 people in there, and I'm very happy about that.
So. I got 7 people in there. All right.
So
this is something.
One thing, people, whoever's watching this, say hi.
Yes.
We get lonely. I get lonely. So,
yeah, me too. It gets lonely out here.
Yeah. So we're gonna treat this like business as usual. Just and then if someone makes a comment, we'll see if it's worth answering. Probably not, because nobody's as good as us. So go for it when you're ready.
Yeah, I want to talk all things Yanks right now, man. There's so much we can dive into. You got the shortstop rumors. You got Matt Olson. You got center field talk. You got the Verlander rumors. Yeah, so, I mean, right now we're getting a little bit of everything. And, you know, the question becomes expectations versus reality. Are the Yankees actually going to have this big winter that everyone's been talking about, or is it going to be we get the big shortstop and from there we kind of take it easy and go for the smaller pieces? But if you want my honest opinion, I think we're going big. I really do, and I'm usually pessimistic.
Like,
I am, but right now I think the Yankees have a lot they want to do, and I'd be shocked if it's anything less than adding 4 to 5 legitimate big league pieces, which is huge. I mean, that's exactly what this team needed.
We need that immediately.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I don't know even where to start. I mean, I think I want to start with the shortstop thing, because like that's the thing that Cashman singled out. So like,
yes.
So like he's like, we're getting a shortstop. Like Glaber, that's never happening again.
Yeah.
Right.
We're never letting that man play shortstop again.
No, please.
For the rest of that man's career.
Unless it's like
a complete emergency where like Gio's hurt and like whoever we get is hurt, then you're not, and then they'll probably call up like a shortstop prospect or something. That's not happening again. So it seems like Corey Seager is the guy that's getting the most smoke right now.
You know, it's been a mix. I mean, if you asked me 2 days ago, I would have told you Correa had the most smoke. And right now I tell you Seager had the most smoke. You know, that's just kind of the ebbs and flows of the offseason. You know, you don't really know who to believe, especially when one of the shortstops has Scott Boras as an agent. I mean, you never know what kind of bullshit's being put out there.
It's a Garrett Cole conundrum.
That's what I'm saying. You know, you really never know what reports to believe in when you're dealing with a Boras client. So with that said, if you want my honest opinion, I think it will end with Seager. But the point I think that needs to be made is in the event that you need to go over $300 million for Seager, which is something that Passan, Rosenthal, and quite a few beat reporters have said is the expectation, when you're going for numbers that high, why would you not just go for the better player at that point? at least in my opinion. I mean, at that point, the dollar gap is going to be so minimum when you think about it. And one of them, in the case of Correa, is an elite shortstop. And in the case of Seager, you're basically paying for what's going to be a third baseman for the majority of that contract potentially. So I don't know. I think Correa might make more sense, but I obviously won't complain if Seager's the way they go, you know?
Yeah. Right. So yeah. I listened to Passan's interview on the Michael Kay show yesterday. And so basically what Passan explained is like, it's the whole Seager plays shortstop for 2 years, moves to third base, Volpe comes up, plays shortstop, and then you've got your left side of the infield set up. And that, and I understand that. And like, I think a good point that Passan made is that a big chunk of Carlos Correa's value is what he does as a shortstop defensively. Because he wasn't like this 900 OPS bat that Correa was, but that Seager was. But what Correa does is he gives you, you know, 25 plus homers, 850 OPS, and gold glove, platinum glove shortstop defense. And that is inherently more valuable than a 900 OPS shortstop who's below average.
I would agree.
Just because that defense is so, so good. He is, like, if anyone's watched that man play shortstop, he can play shortstop.
Oh, my God. I mean, the dude has an absolute cannon, man. It's wild.
He throws it from over the top, and it just, like, comes down, and it's like, it's a little bit like, I don't think I can, like, compare it to anyone's arm, except, like, you ever remember, like, J.J. Hardy of
the, Yes, I do, of course.
He threw it from up here. Like, A-Rod had a cannon for an arm, but he threw it from, like, the side.
Yes, correct.
And, like, I've just never – like, it's very rare you see a shortstop throw over the top like that because it runs the risk of a ball running up and staying up. And then the first baseman, you're going to need, like, Matt Olson, who's, like, 6'5", to go up and grab
it. Yeah, obviously, you know, Matt Olson would be, you know, huge for the defense. You know, the defense has been a huge
– shit out of that.
Yeah, I know.
I segued the
the defense has been a huge topic of conversation for this team. I mean, we were one of the worst defensive teams in baseball last year, although I always said, you know, there's a lot of defensive talent on this team, though. With that said, I think there's a lot of upside, and obviously the Yankees want to address that and add some defenders aside from offensive players. You can get a good mix of both. So with that said, if you're adding Correa, obviously, you're going to have a pretty strong middle infield, I think, because I think Labor's honestly going to be a decent second baseman. He's shown it before. I know he can be. I really believe it. I really do. But obviously, we'll see. But I think the bigger question right now is going to be third base, honestly, in terms of who's going to be there. For me, because I really don't know what to expect. I mean, are they going to trade Gio? Is DJ going to be the utility guy? Or are they going to put him at third base? You know, there's a lot of different routes they can go with there. And I could see it going either way, quite honestly. I don't think one's more likely than the other. Eddie, what do you think about that? I mean, I'm honestly not sure.
Yeah, well, with Gio, Joel Sherman just said he might be a guy that's potentially, you know, non-tendered or traded, which, I mean, I can't see him being non-tendered because although – he had a down year offensively in 2021. I still have to imagine he's got some value. But, I mean, when you have Gio at third, and Gio and LeMahieu had taken up two spots in the infield, like, the offensive production just isn't going to be there. So, the best option to me is getting LeMahieu back to the role that you signed him in, because he's not getting back to the 2019 form, at least in my opinion.
Okay.
That's not happening. And I think the injury definitely did affect him last year. Let's just say there's like a middle ground between what we saw.
That's a reasonable expectation. That's a reasonable expectation.
Yeah. I just don't think that was the true LeMahieu. Neither, let's say the 2019 and 2020 and 2021 LeMahieu, that wasn't the true LeMahieu. Either one. One was too far, too good, and one was obviously heavily affected by injuries.
Yes. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head right there. I mean, you know, the more you think about it, it's clear that the juice balls had an effect on a lot of these Yankees players. In the case of DJ, a huge effect. But even so, it was a mix of that and the injury, I would say, for sure. And I think next year you can reasonably hope for an 800-plus OPS. And honestly, that would be a huge boost to the offense. Like, it genuinely would. Like, that's a huge step above what we got from DJ in 2021. And really the top of the lineup just becomes a lot more full when you have DJ doing his thing in the leadoff spot, and that's what we had the last 2 years prior to 2021. So I think he's a big key to that offense. And aside from that, though, back on the topic of defense, you know, DJ obviously isn't your prototypical third baseman. He's not necessarily the ideal option there, but I think it becomes a lot more tolerable if you have a guy like Olsen, or even if we're just talking defense strictly, Rizzo at first base, who's going to save a lot of those throws that might not necessarily be perfect, because there's an adjustment period there. I mean, we've talked about it before. You know, Tom, you always say this is a 6'4 man that has a weak-ass arm playing second base. So, you know, you think about that at third base. While it's good in a pinch, and he's even
It's amazing how that man is like 6'4 and has no strength whatsoever.
Honestly, he handled third base pretty well. Like, I never felt like he was weak there necessarily.
He has to run into his throws a little bit. It's kind of funny. He grabs it and he kind of takes a few steps and like kind of charges and fires. And I just froze myself with emotion. That's funny. I'm gonna fix that. Give me a second.
It's all right, but
we're fine.
Obviously, like I said, it's not what you necessarily would want at third base, but I think you can tolerate it. In the end, though, if I had to guess, I think they end up rolling with that, honestly. I mean, I think Gio is going to be gone. I do. Mm. I think Gio and Voit will be traded.
Runner, and we don't have many fast runners.
Look, I mean,
he's got nobody.
This is something that John Boy was talking about, too, the topic of this team needing more athleticism, and how in the case of, like, Olsen and let's say Seager, you're not necessarily getting a ton more of quote unquote athleticism necessarily. But I would say that in that case, athleticism is important. But I think the biggest thing is you just want good defensive players. I think that goes a longer way than having speed on the base paths in the end. Yeah, I mean, also, it's obviously like ideal.
In the infield was not good.
That was the worst offensive infield I've seen. It was bad.
We didn't have one infielder have an 800 OPS.
You know, I thought Olsen was going to be a remedy. Not Olsen, I mean Rizzo, but obviously he didn't quite get it done.
Rizzo wasn't bad.
He wasn't bad.
He was respectable, but he wasn't what we needed. He wasn't a solution. No. He was like just there, you know.
He was like,
I think Olsen would be a solution. Rizzo, well, I'm not going to say if Rizzo's back – my feelings on him depend on the rest of the offseason. Like, if they say, you know what, we're going to get Rizzo and put all these chips towards a really, really big center fielder, you know, fine. At least you're allocating those chips that could have went to Olsen to another player that can still add a ton to this team. So I guess it depends on what route the Yankees decide to go in. If they're saying, you know, I'd rather have Brian Reynolds, for example, over Matt Olsen, and we want to put extra chips towards that, go for it. I ain't going to stop you, and I'm not going to complain. But there's a lot of different routes the Yankees can go in, and that's the bottom line here, honestly. I really don't know what to expect from this offseason, whether it's Correa, Olsen or Rizzo, Marte or Reynolds or Buxton or Kepler, or you go into pitching, whether it's going to be Verlander or Tanaka or Robbie Ray. I mean, there's so many different options that we've heard about. Like, this has been rumored. Almost every name I just mentioned from at least one reporter.
In the rumors right now.
That's what I'm saying. And it's because, it's been talked about, a lot of players might be on the move before December 1st with the potential lockout. And that becomes the question. Are the Yankees going to make a big move before December 1st? And if you had to ask me right now, I'm going to say yes, but I don't hold me to it. I really don't know. I just think it's a legitimate possibility because I'm getting the vibe Cashman wants to be aggressive. Even if we were taking this lockout out of the equation, I think he wants to get done stuff quick, and I think he's looking to make moves. I really do. So I guess we'll see.
Yep.
Would Eddie like to continue?
I don't know. Yes.
Go for it.
I just defer to Eddie sometimes.
Yeah, man.
Because I feel rude sometimes because I always
it's all good.
You cut me. All right. Sometimes.
It's all good. All right. Yeah. So we've heard Seager's going to sign before December 1st. I forget who said that. I think it was Jeff Passan. And he said another name. I think Semien, too, was likely to sign before December 1st.
Yes. Correct.
So, let's just throw a scenario out there. Seager signs with the Rangers before December 1st. Correa doesn't sign and it goes to a lockout. At that point, the Yankees lose all their leverage with Scott Boris, and it's basically like, hey, dude, you're signing Carlos Correa or you're not getting a top-tier shortstop. Now, obviously, there's Trevor Story, but for me, and I think for all of us, I can speak for everyone here, it's Carlos Correa or Corey Seager. So I would like to pounce first and get one of those two guys.
I mean, Marcus Semien, he's not the way to go. I mean, the Yankees made it clear. No, he's not a bad player. It's not that. It's the fact that, A, he's getting older. You don't know how he's going to project long-term. And also the fact that the Yankees need some long-term fixes, quite honestly. It's not just fixes for the next 2 years, although you can have some players like that. Like, if they went for a Marte in center field, I wouldn't complain if the pieces around him make sense long-term. But with that said, you know, I think that a long-term solution at shortstop is important. I think it's very important. And in the case of Correa, if they end up going for someone like that, you have a lockdown defensive shortstop for probably the next 5-6 years at least, where he's playing defense at a high level. Yeah. After that, even though I think he'll still be at least average, like, I don't see Correa becoming a bad defender until like the very, very end if he does. So
yeah, he's just tall. Like, I think
he's very tall. Yeah.
He's a tall guy. Like,
he's very athletic. I mean, I think he's going to handle the contract fine in the sense of how he ages. In the case of Corey Seager, I've heard some scouts say that they think his Seager's bat is in particular is going to age better than Correa's, while Correa's defense is likely to age better than Seager's defense. So I can see a case being made there. I can see that for sure, especially in the case of, obviously, Yankee Stadium with that short porch. Seager might be getting a little bit of extra help as he gets older. But I honestly, it's hard to complain either way, but I do agree with you. When it comes to leverage, obviously, you don't want to lose that because the Yankees want to get one of these guys at a reasonable cost. And I think Seager and Semien are Boris clients. Correa isn't, right?
Oh, Correa isn't? I might have confused them.
I don't think Correa is. No, it's okay.
Oh, okay.
Correa is represented by someone else. He's
okay, so
Correa is like his own dude, man. Like,
he's his own dude.
He goes against the grain a lot. So yeah, he's not represented by Boris, but Seager is. So it's gonna be really interesting because Boris made Strasburg sign first when Gerrit Cole was a free agent. Remember, Strasburg signed like 2 days earlier, and he set the record for highest contract for a pitcher, and that set it up for Cole to break it by like an extra $1 million per year. And so it's going to be really interesting because Boris doesn't have control over what Correa does or when Correa signs.
And I think that's why he's not liking this. Right. I really do think he's putting out a lot of this secret stuff.
He doesn't have full leverage right now because Correa is represented by someone else. Do we know who Semien is represented by? You said Boris?
I think
he is Boris.
He's trying to get that bag.
He just changed his agent.
Oh, did he?
He did.
He just changed to Boris a couple days
ago.
Yes.
Okay. So I thought so.
He's getting that bag.
So, you know, I was thinking about it. In the case, like, what's the shortstop market for teams? Like, what teams are looking at shortstops right now? I mean, the Tigers are one of the teams that have been rumored, but we also just heard the Tigers might not even be willing to go over $250 million. I believe that's a report that was out the other day. And if that's the case, they're probably not going to get Correa. And then the Rangers, they're going to be hard on Seager probably. They're going to be going after him. I think that's definitely a likely option.
Dodgers want him back too. Can't forget that.
Dodgers want him back, but I was forced to guess right now, I don't think he goes back to LA. No. I don't.
I think got other priorities, man.
I think other teams are going to be more desperate than the Dodgers are. Yeah, so
you can never count them out though.
Never count them out.
Like, I don't. I'm scared of them. They just pull money out of their ass sometimes, and it's like,
we got to do that this year.
Is this what this felt like in the early 2000s when we were doing this shit?
Well, because this is what the Yankees literally admitted. We can't do this. I mean, they said we cannot do what they do. Like, I don't know.
Unicorn.
And that says a lot, man. I mean, the Yankees have forever been considered the richest team in sports, basically. I mean, that's kind of just their reputation.
Come close to the camera here for a moment.
Oh, come yeah.
I'm going to take this microphone.
Okay.
Yes, they can.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, they can.
They can. Yeah. They don't want to.
Yeah.
However, I really do believe season they're going to go above and beyond. I do. I don't see a scenario where the payroll is under 270, honestly. I think they're going to be at 270 or higher. I really do.
It's time, man. It's like time.
It's now or never. I mean, the window's closing. A lot of players are going to be going. I mean, after next year, we have, I think, $60 million coming off the books, if I remember right. I think it's 60 mil. So even if we're at 270 next year and you go down 6, you're down to 210, and the luxury tax is going to be raised no matter what. So let's say the third tier goes up to 260. I think right now it's maybe 248. Just a guess on that, but if it's 260, then you have $50 million worth of room going into next year when everybody's gone before arbitration. And, you know, that it gives you a little bit of wiggle room to work with. And honestly, if I'm the Yankees, I plan to go over that third tier for the next 2 years. And you go all in and see what you can do. I think that's the best way to do it.
Like, here's the thing. We did sign Cole, and I will give them that. Cole
was huge. You're right.
Like, but here's the thing. I've never felt like we've had a year where we were like all in. We got to get this done this year. Because in 2017, we could have went for that Death Star move when Verlander was on waivers. Verlander was pitching really well with Detroit before he went to Houston. We could have put that waiver claim in. Didn't do it. Because we're like, no, we can reset. We can reset. And we could have like a dynasty. They're thinking three championships instead of getting that first one. Then, like, they didn't trade whoever they wanted for Cole when he was getting traded to Houston. That didn't happen. You know, we didn't sign Harper. We didn't sign Machado. There were a lot of opportunities that presented themselves, and we didn't take advantage of. We decided, you know, we're going to wait on this. We got Stanton instead of Harper. We got, you know, we developed Gio. He comes up. Then we didn't need Machado, which is fine. We signed DJ LeMahieu. He ended up being a bargain on his two-year deal. And now he signed a 6-year deal, and I'm scared shitless of what that may be. And I mean, now, like, come on, like, here we are. The window's closing. Gerrit Cole's gonna be what, 31, 32?
Yeah, probably.
He's gonna be 32 this year.
Yeah, 32 in September.
Yeah, 32. And 32. Aaron Judge is gonna be 30 in April. It's like we haven't gone all in yet. And it's like, not like when I say all in, I mean like all in. Like, we're spending, like, we're having number one payroll. Like, we're going for it.
I'll say this, a couple things also really didn't go their way. I'm not going to blame. Sure. I'm just going to say that there is some fault on the players as well. Because you look at last year, man, we went into the season thinking, like, this was like a season where we went in expecting to make the World Series with the team we had, like, taking out.
Absolutely.
Just looking at the roster going in, we had a World Series team in our heads. But obviously, we had underperformance from quite literally. What, more than half the lineup? I mean, Gio underperformed, DJ underperformed.
Voit got hurt. Sanchez, you know.
Sanchez was Sanchez.
Like, he was above average in terms of being a catcher, but
He still sucks.
It still wasn't what you wanted. You know, Judge was an MVP candidate, so that's great. And then Hicks got hurt. Gardner struggled for like the first like 3-4 months, and then
he did finish hot. I'll give him credit.
Even the guys that we traded for, Gallo and Rizzo, came and they really weren't like huge impact.
Gallo was rough.
Gallo was bad. He was bad.
Gallo was having like a nice ass run, hurts his neck.
I remember that. I thought that was going to be. I think if he didn't get hurt, I think that really would have been something. I really do.
He was on a heater. He hit like a homer off of like the.
I think it was four games in a row with the homer, and then he just got hurt. You know, it sucked.
Get it going, man. It was like, it's just, and then obviously we had to fire our hitting coaches because of all the underperformances.
You know, when it comes to Gallo, I think in a regular season, Gallo's obviously going to have his ups and downs. He's going to have a lot of hot streaks, a lot of cold streaks, and, you know, that's fine. But my thing with that is, if you're going to have some of those streakier players like him, and obviously
was like the streakiest guy I've ever seen.
Yes. And with that said, when you have those kind of players, I think you need certain consistency around them. And that's where a guy like Seager or Olsen would come in, because, you know, when Gallo's cold, you don't have the rest of the lineup picking him up. And that's like, you don't really get anything out of that. And he has no protection either, really. So with that's where the other guys are going to come in. I mean, Matt Olson is – that's a elite 40 home run bat at Yankee Stadium, I think. I mean, that's huge. And then you look at Corey Seager, that's 30-plus homers too at Yankee Stadium. So I think between those two, the lineup changes dramatically if you add like, – even if you don't even touch center field and you add those two, the team is upgraded significantly. But I also do think either way, we are going to get a center fielder too. And if Cashman really does go for that punch there, the Yankees lineup is going to be in amazing shape, and it just comes down to health and the pitchers doing their thing, because the rotation's actually I didn't think we were going to go for a starter going into the offseason. Now I think we are.
I think we will. Yeah.
I think we will. No, I think we will.
Because especially with Tyone's injury, he's not.
I thought they were kind of just going to wing it. I did. Because after seeing how Cortez came on, I thought they were like, you know what, you know, we can kind of wing it. I think we can work through this until Tyone's back. But now I think they're looking to add somebody. But
this is what I'm trying to say. I want to get as many awesome pitchers as possible.
Well, tell me, what pitcher do you want?
Let me say there are two guys. All right. So let's say Scherzer stays West Coast. I really do still like Verlander, even though he's coming off of Tommy John. I don't think this is a Kluber situation. This is a guy that has basically had a rubber arm for like 20 years. Okay, so like, and the last time he was pitching, even with the elbow ligament injury, he was averaging 95 on his fastball. All right, so then he just hit 97. Like, yeah, he's awesome. He's an awesome pitcher. He's going to strike out a bunch of dudes. He's gonna be Justin Verlander. I expect Justin Verlander. There have been no signs that there's some regression coming. There have been no signs that, you know, he does give up some homers, but hey, so did Masahiro Tanaka. Okay? You know what he does? And Gerrit Cole gives up homers. You know what? Justin Verlander is really good. He is quite good. All right, you want to know why? Because he strikes out like 250 dudes a year, and it's like ridiculous, and he's going to the Hall of Fame.
I've been thinking hard about it. I think a big part of who the Yankees sign should depend on how they feel about Matt Blake and their development with pitchers, honestly, because if they really feel that they can work with anybody and they can make all these pitchers better or even just keep them at a consistent level, then personally, I say why not go for Robbie Ray? That's my opinion. If you truly trust in your pitching development, because in the case of Verlander, that's a move for the next 2 years. And obviously, I'm just saying, realistically, there are concerns. There are. I'm not going to say he's not going to be great, because I think if he's healthy, he will. But that's the key phrase there, if healthy. So yeah. if we're looking at the pure stuff as well as age, Robbie Ray might be a better fit. And I think that comes down to just how the Yankees feel about Matt Blake. And if they feel he's able to handle working with Robbie Ray and that he's going to stay on a consistent basis with the Yankees. And I think he could, especially because he pitched in the American League East and he did great. I mean, he wasn't struggling at all. So with that said, I don't see a reason why they wouldn't go after somebody like that. That for me, that's my target. Because if you get Robbie Ray and insert him into that rotation, suddenly you have a top three, if Severino's healthy, of course, of Cole, Robbie Ray, Severino. And then you have Tyone.
Strikeouts per nine.
It's true.
Ray. It's true. It's kind of ridiculous. It's like that dude strikes out like 13 guys.
But that's what I was going to say. Think about the strikeout stuff in that rotation in the top three.
I mean, Gerrit Cole. I like some strikeouts for my pitchers. I like that. I think
they'll have a very good combination because you have three big strikeout pitchers. And then below that, when you go to Monty, you got a ground ball guy. He strikes out dudes. He's a ground ball guy too. And then you go to Tyone. As long as he's, I think, in a healthy year this year where he's – when he comes back and he doesn't necessarily need to be on a limit entirely, I think he's going to put up some numbers. I do, especially as a fifth starter. I mean, as a fifth starter, I have no concerns about Tyone personally, but because last year we kind of went in with him thinking he might be our number three, number two, maybe. Yeah. So like, it's a big difference, obviously. As a number five, though, I really can't complain about Tyone at all. And even if he doesn't work out, we got Nestor Cortez in the back who might be able to give us some quality innings too. I mean, the Yankees have some options and I'm feeling pretty comfortable, but
yeah. First of all, you can never have too much pitching because let's be honest, by June, like three different starters will be hurt and we'll be
they're
like,
gonna get
damn,
hurt.
I wish we had some rotation depth right now. Every year it happens. Like so I just accept it.
Yeah, and back I was going to a Yankee year, and I say, "Oh, we got depth. We got pitching depth."
Yeah,
and then by June, it's gone. And it's like
I don't think you can ever have enough. Like you might need like 15 starters because it seems like every year someone just finds a way to get hurt. But with Devin Ray,
two setbacks. You know, Herman hurt his shoulder. Who else? So Tyone had injuries as well. It was ridiculous.
Even Cole for a little bit. Yeah, and then we know the hamstring lingered.
Got COVID as well.
Yep. So. And with Ray, too, by the way, that was a guy that the Yankees were interested in back in the 2019 trade deadline. I think he was like the guy that we heard most at that deadline. And we know the Yankees want to trade Clint for him. That's another example, by the way, of the Yankees not really going all in. They did nothing
was
at that
Clint
deadline.
Or was it Clint was it Andujar that they wanted to trade?
I think it was Clint. I don't know, but anyway,
I forgot who it was, to be honest.
I know that.
I think it was Clint, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was a guy
I wouldn't have made that trade either.
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't have done it. Still wouldn't do it.
That was a different. Well, Tom, we don't trust your Clint judge very much.
We don't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, neither do I anymore, to be honest.
But, I mean, you're right though, Eddie. I mean, you can never have too much pitching, and the pitching market's really good this year. I mean, you said in the event that Max Scherzer's in the West Coast, but according to Boris, he wants to play wherever he can win. Is that true? You know, is that true? I don't know. But if that's true, big if, that's your number one target. No exceptions. You have no excuse to not go get a pitcher of Max Scherzer's caliber. I mean, he's on another level. The guy's consistently healthy, and he dominates. He dominates in a way that I can't even comprehend.
Hall of Fame. See you in Hall of Fame. We should have signed him back in 2015. I'm still
on I that. Remember that. Yeah. I was pissed.
I was a very prominent member of the Let's Go Get Max Scherzer fan club, and they just didn't do it because I forgot why they wouldn't do it. I think they were like –
money.
It might have
probably money, thing. Like everything else.
No, money. I think it was it was like something else as well, where they, I don't know, I forgot, but like, I think they were trying to get like CC's contract on, or like they wanted to get some of the pre-existing deals off or something. And it's like, yeah, we kind of whiffed on that one.
Classic budget Yankees.
We should have signed like that dude. Yeah. And we got Coldus, so I'm happy about that. But, you know, if we had Max Scherzer in 2017, I think things could have ended a little differently.
He's
pretty good. I don't know if you guys have heard. Like that contract that he signed, one of the best contracts ever.
Especially because how he aged. I mean, the dude was pitching at an ace level.
He's still in it.
The whole
he's
contract,
still,
yeah.
He's like pushing 40. He's still in it.
I know. No, it's insane. I mean, and, you know, we didn't even go over the whole market. I mean, there's other good starters, too, I'd be into. I mean, Kevin Gausman's out there. I mean, there hasn't been any smoke on him yet, but I mean, that's a pitcher. That's a pitcher right there.
Like he's a beast. He's a monster. I think he's staying with the Giants. I do think, like, I think that guy's found a home.
One guy I would look at, why not Carlos Rodon? I mean, the guy's got great stuff, and the Yankees have loved him for years, man. Even before he started pitching like a beast, I mean.
They asked Scott Boras about the White Sox not giving him a qualifying offer.
Thank you.
And he said thank you, because now teams can't use that as an excuse to not sign him.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, you do not lose a draft pick if you sign Carlos Rodon. And another name that we keep hearing about these days is John Gray of the Rockies.
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest. He's got talent. I'm not really into it. Unless it's like a depth piece, because he really doesn't move the needle at all for me. Like, at least all the other guys we listed, for me, they move the needle at least a little bit in the rotation. So like,
sometimes you just need your needle moved, I guess.
But look, I'll say this: if again, this comes down to Matt Blake. If they really do see something in John Gray, and they feel he can make a difference on this team, then I'm going to see what they've can prove me wrong. They've done it before. And also, when it comes to pitching, they know more than me. I mean, I didn't think Clay Holmes was going to be as good as he was. And look how that fucking turned out. I mean, the guy's a monster. And now the Yankees are looking to trade away a lot of their bullpen pieces because they realize, why do we need to pay for these when we can just trade for cheap guys with good stuff that people gave up on and make them our own?
Off the payroll, you get rid of Chapman and Britton.
Yeah.
I forgot. Wait, is Chapman a free agent after this year or is it next year?
After this year, yeah.
He is a free agent. So is Zach Britton.
Get him out of here. I'm sorry, Chapman. But
honestly, if it's up to me, Trade him now. Trade him
exactly.
Now.
Like, well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. If we're planning on like having like no limits this year, hey, fine, awesome, great, you can stay. But if we're like, if there's a certain limit where we're like, we can't spend X amount above this, this number, then you can say, then you can just do it now. Then you can trade. Either way, but, I don't expect Chapman to be on the 2023 team.
But my problem with Chapman is the fact that he's the closer. Like, if he is not pitching in a closer's role, he's basically just not going to be used. Like, that's kind of just how it's been with Chapman. Like, if he's struggling too much to be a closer, they just don't use him. And then the next time they do use him, maybe they'll use him the eighth inning once, and then he'll go right back to that ninth inning role regardless. And it's kind of how it's been with him. So if he goes back into one of those whirlwinds where he just doesn't have it, I mean, what, it's a waste of a roster spot, and you're paying the guy $17 million. I mean, it's like, even if you're saying we have no budget, why not allocate that money towards something more useful? Like, we can, like, you can give that salary to someone like fucking Chris Taylor. I mean, this is just throwing out a random name. Like, there's other guys out there that'd be more useful.
Could be used for Chris. I like the way you're thinking. I like the way you're thinking. Like, you can, that was one of my,
that's a big name right there. And you know, Loaisiga's more than good enough to be the closer now. I mean, he's earned it. He's straight up earned that role. Yep. He deserves to be the closer. And now, if anything, if you want to even trade Chapman and replace him with another bullpen piece that you want to pay for, make it a cheap one, of course, but like pay for, like, even though it didn't work last year, I like the O'Day and Wilson moves because they were experienced guys who would have performed, I think, if they were healthy in most cases. Obviously, it didn't work out, but I'm saying if they wanted to pull that again where it's like $4 million total for two veteran relievers that have a good reputation, I'm not going to say no. Personally, like at that kind of cost, like why not?
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Why not?
I think the Yankees. Yeah, I think the Yankees front office got too caught up in like the super bullpen thing. Like
it was a big thing for like 3 years.
Yeah,
for 3 years it became a big thing, and then the rest of MLB abandoned it while the Yankees kept going with it.
Yeah, yeah. But like even when we had Dylan Betances and Andrew Miller and Chapman for that one season, Andrew Miller was getting paid like $8 million a year, which was like a bargain at that point. And I think after that, the Yankees got so caught up in it, and they're like, oh, let's just start paying relievers $15 million a year. Like, we have, what, $31 million a year going towards Chapman and Britton now? Like, when you're not going to go absolutely berserk with your payroll, like, you can't have $31 million tied up to two relievers, even at their best, to be honest, Chapman and Britton. And we definitely didn't get their best this year.
Yeah, the game's changed a little bit. Like, we don't. Where the Yankees aren't that team that will spend whatever they want anymore. Mm-hmm. So like you have to, when you're like that now, when you're the budget Yankees, you have to allocate your money certain ways, and spending $31 million on two bullpen guys, as opposed to maybe a bench player like Chris Taylor, who isn't really a bench player, but is more of a starting player who plays everywhere and is playing at starter level in terms of his wins above replacement and what he does. He does so much for a team. He does so much more for a team than a guy who pitches one inning. You know, it's about value and asset management. It's just the game has changed. We're not that team anymore that will do something like that.
Yeah. You're right, though. I mean, the Yankees definitely need to, because even if we're going under the tax, let's say the next 2 years, I mean, over the tax, rather. They're going to go under again. Like, it's just part of the cycle in baseball as a whole, honestly, let alone the Yankees. But once you go over the tax, you're doing it for a certain amount of time. Then you plan to go back under and then go back over again. It's just part of the way it goes.
Snip, snap.
Yeah, I know the reference. Yep. But that's exactly what it is.
It pertained to something else in the show.
I know.
I don't think we should elaborate on that, but
am I missing something with the reference?
Yeah, no, it's about circumcision.
Okay.
It's about Michael Scott. Michael Scott, Steve Carell's character.
I'm not a big office guy.
His girlfriend,
it was a vasectomy.
He gets I'm sorry.
And he keeps going back and forth because she keeps changing her mind.
And so one day he finds her at a at like a clinic where she decides to become a mother on her own after they break up. And yeah, so he sees her there and he's just absolutely shocked because she's gonna be a mother.
So anyway, my table. Back to the Yanks.
Great tie-in with The Office for a second.
Yeah,
thank you. We didn't really need to explain that.
No, we didn't.
So. I was a little confused. So
I wasn't gonna do it. You kind of just did, but it's okay.
thank you.
Yeah, Tom. I ramble sometimes. It's okay.
Anyway, back to the Yankees. So I think that they definitely.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about the luxury tax. And how, yeah. You know, realistically, they are going to go up and down with it. They're going to go over sometimes. They're going to go under. And with that said, I do think that you need to consider certain financial responsibilities and where to allocate that money. And the bullpen is not one of those spots if they truly believe in their own pitching development. Why do that? You don't need to. So they're not going to, I don't think. I think the route they should go is don't spend on the bullpen, spend on the rotation. And as for bats, try to develop your own. I think that's the best way to do it. And so far, that seems to be the direction they're heading in, quite honestly. I mean, just look at our top prospects right now. I mean, the big ones that we're talking about, they're bats. Jason Dominguez, Oswald Peraza, and Anthony Volpe, Austin Wells. I mean, you obviously have guys like Luis Medina and Clark Schmidt, Luis Gil, but even those guys, there are some projection concerns. And if it's up to me, quite honestly, I trade them in a heartbeat right now. I mean, I don't even think twice about it. I mean, if you're telling me, you know, a guy like Brian Reynolds is available for center field, I'm saying take all of our starting pitchers. Take them. You can have Medina, Heel, and I'll give you Oswald Peraza on top of that. Enjoy. Now, give me Reynolds. Like, I make that offer without even thinking fucking twice about it because prospects are prospects. Brian Reynolds is a proven commodity under team control for 4 years. And again, he is not. But he might not even be available, honestly. But I'm just saying, if he is, that's the kind of guy you move those chips for. And even if he's not, I think a guy like Byron Buxton in center field, even with injury concerns, that's a guy I go for too. I mean, that's just talent. I want talent right now. I just want pure talent in center field and mobility. And that's a guy that can move, man. I mean, that's an elite defender.
Mm-hmm.
Get me that guy, but don't think it's happening. I don't like if I had to bet money on it. I don't even think he's getting traded.
But that's you talking about Reynolds or Buxton?
Reynolds, I think Buxton might.
Buxton might get moved. Either way, though, I'm sure. I am more sure the Yankees are getting a center fielder more than I am sure of them getting a first baseman. Like Cash, like just because Cashman has been so vocal.
They have to get a first baseman though.
They don't have to.
They don't technically they don't have to because they
my point is they don't need to go outside if they don't want to. They can just re-sign Rizzo if they want, and I wouldn't be shocked. With center field, they have to go to an outside option, I think, and they're going to, I believe. I don't think they're going to roll with just Hicks. I think Hicks is going to be there, and I think he'll get playing time, but they know he's not. Last time he was playing healthy even. He wasn't a center fielder anymore. The guy could barely move there.
Slow down for sure.
No, he does not profile as a center fielder in his current state. At best, he's a left fielder at best, in my opinion, right now. Yeah. So with that said, center field is where you got to get some athleticism. And as much as I like guys like even Max Kepler, some of the other names I heard, that's not a real center fielder. But a guy like Marte or Brian Reynolds or Buxton, those are legitimate. They're in center field for a reason right now. They are center fielders. So that's kind of where my head's at, personally.
The thing with Marte, like for me, is like I question his defense, you know, as like if we're going for like a center fielder
really a center
defensively.
Fielder
yeah. That's the only reason. Like his offense is great and he had a really good offensive year, but I'm just, you know, if we're getting a center fielder for,
I could have swore he had a good year in the outfield. Maybe
I think he was. I saw it the other day, but I'm pretty sure he was like a negative in defensive runs saved. Or
if that's the case, then
negative 19 since 2019. Something.
Okay, if that's the case, then I'd rather have Buxton for sure. Then, but
I think Buxton has more talent as well.
And look, even if Buxton's getting hurt every now and then. My dumb logic, we have Hicks and Buxton. As long as they're not both hurt at the same time, roll with it. Like, honestly, God, I'll just...
And inevitably, you know? Brett Gardner will work his way back into.
Oh, Brett Gardner,
of course, no,
155 games.
Absolutely.
You know what's crazy? You want to know what's crazy? Yeah. You want to hear a crazy stat? Byron Buxton played 61 games this year. He would have been third on the team in WAR for the Yankees. He
put up. And that's why you see, like, that's the guy you go for, to me, honestly. If it's not Reynolds.
He put up 4.5.
How much control does Buxton have?
I think it's only like a year, honestly. But okay.
But he's not going to get a huge deal unless that gives him an incentive to stay healthy.
But that's what I was going to say. Like he needs the big year for himself. And aside from that, the Twins realistically can't ask too much for him. I mean, they can ask for like a decent haul, but they're not going to get anything huge out of it. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the only thing you're selling the name and what he can do, not what he just did.
10 DRS, 10 defensive runs saved in 61 games.
You know what the most exciting part is for me? The 99th percentile for sprint speed.
Yeah,
he's an athletic anomaly. It is kind of just like, and his power is really developed as well.
I mean, if you get Byron Buxton, he kind of, for me, he becomes your automatic leadoff hitter.
19 home runs in 61 games.
I'm not
a math major. Yeah. I actually have some bad experiences with mathematics, but 19 home runs in 60 games. If we double that and make it 120 games, that's 38 home runs.
Yeah.
So I think, honestly, I was thinking about it. If I had to tell you, what's a little segment here? Let's all pitch our ideal offseason.
Okay.
All right. Within reason, though. Like we're not going to say get 10 players, but yeah. I'm going to give you what I think
that
is
the other day. I did that the other day on Twitter, and people have called me on the. I don't think people understood.
There's nothing wrong with having a little fun.
Have some fun.
My tweet under it was never be rational when spending a billionaire.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm just like if you don't understand that, I was just like kind of being facetious a little bit. Like it was like half serious, half not. You get what I'm saying? But if we're doing ideal offseason within reason, Seager, Correa, one of the two, right?
No, you have to, for this segment, you're choosing.
This is Tom Smith as GM.
Yeah, this is your GM. You have to make the moves, and you have to consider the budget to a certain extent, at least. And when I say certain extent, I just mean, like, don't go $300 million total for payroll.
Correa, Taylor, Verlander, done.
Yeah.
No, wait, I'm not done. Correa, Taylor, Verlander, Olsen, done.
Okay.
And trade.
Eddie, go for it.
All right. Olsen, Correa.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to say Buxton, too, because you guys have kind of sold me on that.
There we go. And there we go. I got him.
Tom,
you didn't even pitch Buxton.
Yeah, but I just don't see it. I don't think it's happening. So,
but you're the GM, though. That's the point of this exercise.
I'm the GM. So I will take away
This is what you feel the Yankees should do within reason.
I will take away Chris Taylor, and I will give myself Byron Buxton. Right,
okay.
Okay. There we go.
Can I get Mitch Garver in that trade?
Yes.
I would like that. Oh, okay.
If you really want to, but like that's the limit. You can't go past that. That's like that's the limit.
So you guys get the point. Okay. You guys get
it. I'll cap it there. You can go.
Cap it at five
players.
So I'll go Correa, Olsen, Buxton, and then let's just say Verlander because I want him to. And I'm just going to say this. I don't even have a name in mind. Gary Sanchez replacement. I just don't even know who. Just get rid of him, please.
Anyone, any
human catcher. Again, we talked about this with the offense. I just need a good defensive catcher at this point. Like I'm not expecting, you know, an 800 OPS and 40 home runs out of the catcher position anymore. Just get me a solid defender. To platoon with Higgy, who has a little bit of pop every now and then, and that's good enough with me. Yeah.
I'll give this a shot here. I guess I'll say Correa for sure. That's my one. Olsen, you have to get. I think that's a no brainer. Yeah. No debate there. Yeah. Byron Buxton remains my guy. I think that's a perfect fit for center field. I think it adds athleticism, and I think the lineup becomes a lot stronger. I'm gonna say drop Gary Sanchez and add a defensive catcher in the form of anybody really, kind of like Eddie said. I mean, I just want
anyone.
The thing is, if you're adding Correa in my case, Olsen and Buxton, you've added enough offense where if you still have enough defense as well,
defense is ridiculous.
Like if you really need a defense, like if you're saying you still need an offensive minded catcher after getting those three, there's something else wrong in the lineup that I'm not seeing that because you don't need that. You don't. But I'm at four. And then my fifth would be the starting pitcher. And at that point, honestly, I'm going to go a little cheaper because I feel like I said a lot of shit here.
I think you said Robbie Ray, but I don't think that's real.
No, I'm going to be realistic. I'm going to say Tanaka.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
You know what? We should talk about this.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
I think didn't like Clapper say something about it, about them having eyes on Tanaka that maybe he's coming back. So, yeah. I would like Tanaka back because like a lot of these advanced kind of pitch assessment statistics kind of said that Tanaka really does have some potential even more so than what he already was.
Especially if you give him another
year with like Matt Blake and what he's been able to do, I do think like there's something there that like we could actually, you know, he would be. And also I think clubhouse wise they need a guy like that.
I absolutely agree.
There's an issue in that room somewhere.
I think Tanaka would add a ton to that clubhouse. I think he'd add a ton to the team as well. Cole misses him a lot. Yeah. Oh, those two love each other. So, you know, I mean, I think it's a good fit in that sense too. But, you know, I think if I'm going to be as objective as possible, I think if we're asking as much as we just did out of the Yankees from the position players, where we're saying literally get 3 to 4 new position players, which would become anywhere from a third, you're talking a third to half of the lineup almost. So if we're doing that, I don't mind going cheaper and starting pitcher at all. I mean, honestly, at that, if you told me just before I even entered the offseason, we got no starting pitcher and we got 4 new bats or position players, I honestly wouldn't have even complained. I'm going to be honest. I wouldn't. But so with that said, I'm open-minded on the starting pitcher front if we actually do that much on the position player front. But in the case of Tanaka, though, I think you're adding so much. I have zero objections to adding him. And I think, honestly,
we like that guy.
We love him. I think he would do everything you want out of that kind of guy. And honestly, we already know this is a guy that can handle New York, which is a bonus. I mean, this is a guy that can handle the big lights. He performs when the pressure's on in the playoffs. And I think the last time we saw him, obviously,
here in Japan, though.
Yeah, the last time we saw him, he didn't do great in the postseason. But truthfully, I think that's an anomaly. And he was kind of off that year in general, I felt like. Yeah. I mean,
he got smoked first day, like one of the first days of spring training, in the head by Giancarlo Stanton. Remember
that was rough.
That was live because they were like, everybody was so excited. Oh my God, spring training's back. We're going to show it. We're going to have the yes camera in the stadium while they're working out.
Death.
And then I'm watching, right? And all I see, Giancarlo Stanton, Tanaka's pitching to Giancarlo. Whack, hits him in the head. I ran to my dad. I'm like, Dad, you got to turn on Yes Network right now. Oh my God. I was freaking out. I was like, and everyone came together. I've never seen anything like that. It was so depressing. Yeah. 2020, the year 2020 in general, let's like erase it from continuity. Oh,
it was
like,
horrible.
Luke and I are comic book nerds, and sometimes comic book writers will just erase certain things from continuity because they are trash.
Yeah.
If we can do that, if we can just like, we're not getting religious here, but if God is real,
okay,
that's like one of the main things I would ask is like, yo, can we just strike that one off the record?
Yeah.
Can we just like never go back to that ever again? Because I just want to protect Masahiro Tanaka amongst other things.
Tanaka is my hero. I love him. He's my Masahiro. So, I mean, he's the guy. So, honestly, that's kind of how I feel about the offseason as a whole right now. The Yankees have a lot to do, and I honestly think they're going to do just about everything. But I think in order of priority for me, for myself personally, I would say shortstop's obviously number one priority. That's the must no matter what. I would say, for me at least, I put first base as second priority, particularly in the form of Olsen. I think you need to get that done. I think because, again, once you get Seager and Olsen, the rest kind of just becomes whatever you can do, fine. Like that you already got enough done. But
right.
Center field is my number three. I would say starting pitcher is my four and catcher is my five. Ideally, I mean, it'd be great to get a defensive catcher, but like if we're doing all those other things, I really don't care. I'm going to be honest. I really don't.
This but, is just, I have it as a priority just because of my dislike.
I know
now
you despise him. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Gary. You're probably a nice guy, but
he's a very nice guy, but like you just can't like go 2018, 2020, 2021, just not.
It infuriates me.
There's no consistency. My issue. It's like,
dude, oh no, there's consistency of being awful.
I mean, like when he gets bad, it's so hard for him to pull himself out of it. Especially being a catcher, it's like really hard because he's got other responsibilities that other position players don't have, and it's just like, I just think it's time. It's like. You know, but if we have to go one more year just because the market isn't good, I will, like, as long as we supplement him with all the other pieces around him, where like we get Matt Olson, we get a Seager Correa, we get, you know, a center fielder like a Buxton, and like we have like a legit team around Gary, Gary's fine on his own.
And just saying, hypothetically, this is total hypothetical here, but
total hypothetical.
After next 2022, Wilson Contreras is a free agent. Just saying. I mean, he is on the open market.
Probably on the trade market now.
With the Cubs cutting salary, never know.
Here's my gripe with the Cubs. Like their owners are like they own like some of the, like the biggest banks in the world, and
they're
they,
cheap.
They're cheap. It's like you guys. I don't appreciate
that. Well, it's shitty because they could have had an actual dynasty there. I mean, they legitimately had a shot to build that kind of dynasty where like they had a core of homegrown players that were all young, really fucking good, and they could have continued to supplement that in the following years, but they kind of didn't. I mean,
they didn't really develop as well as you would have expected either. It was I heard something along the lines of like they just like after they won the World Series, like they weren't as hungry as they used to be. And it was just like, and that's just not something you want to hear.
I mean, remember Addison Russell?
Oh, wow. I mean,
I'd prefer that's not a, to.
That's a name. I'm saying because that's a name that was legitimately expected to be part of that core.
Yeah.
That never came together. Javi Baez kind of was slowing down with the Cubs too. Rizzo was consistent at least, and Bryant, while consistent,
Bryant had a nice
but he's had ups and downs with the Cubs.
He's not MVP Chris Bryant anymore. That's just kind of sad because he seems like an awesome guy, and like he's still a good player. He's still gonna get a nice deal for himself.
I wouldn't mind having him on my team. I wouldn't mind. Yeah,
it's just like he doesn't really have a position anymore because his body's kind of slowing down a little bit. He's not great at third. He's not great in left field. They're trying to find a position for him. You know, who knows? But he can still swing the stick and maybe, you know, signs with the Mets or something. That'd be cool. I think like that's a good destination for him. Maybe goes to like Philly because they don't seem to care about defense that much. If anyone's seen like Philadelphia Phillies baseball, they're playing Didi at shortstop still, and I think they moved him. No, they didn't move him, but he was not good there. They were playing.
Wasn't he not good hitting-wise either?
They were playing McCutchen in left.
Yeah, he's expected to be moved by the Phillies in the offseason, I think. I'm pretty sure I heard that. Yeah.
He's not good.
Oh.
He's not good anymore, guys. Like,
I saw that comment.
Yankee fans, get close to the camera. Get close to the camera here. He's not coming back. He's not coming back.
That's a dream.
And look, I will forever appreciate what Didi did for our team, obviously. I mean, the guy was the heart and soul of this team for a few years, quite honestly. Yeah. I mean, he really was. I mean, and he had some really nice numbers. He put up some really nice numbers at the end.
And you got to respect him for, obviously, who he was replacing and the job doing it.
Look, considering the amount of shit he got in that first month with the Yankees, man, he got fucking obliterated by the media and by fans. It was not good. Look, his first year, it still wasn't good. I mean, the guy had a 688 OPS that year, but
he came on kind of in like the second half, if I remember correctly.
Look, every single year of Didi's career with the Yankees, he got better.
It was just gradual. It was kind of like a gradual thing where it's like, and then one year he had like over like 20 home runs. It was like, oh shit.
And remember, like, it was like, he had that crazy first month in April, I think in 2019, maybe? 2018. I remember he got the curtain call in Anaheim. That was wild.
And remember, he got injured, and that stopped the Yankees from extending him. That was kind of like the thing. He would still be a Yankee right now.
Well, Didi Gregorius kind of became a cautionary tale for me for guys, position players that have to get Tommy John, because I see what it does to them in the between them and Hicks. I mean, both of them. I was like, when Hicks had to get that, I was like, he's not going to be the same guy when he first comes back, I guarantee you, in any way. And he wasn't. I remember his power was very clearly zapped when he played. Mm-hmm. And he was still walking a ton, but like you could tell, like he just wasn't right. And I could have called that from the moment it happened.
Yeah,
maybe Glaber's Tommy John is acting up like 3 years later. You know?
Yeah,
like let's use that as an excuse for him. But yeah,
sure,
for sure. It's just, you know, it's over. You know, I think Didi may be like a useful player somewhere, but you know, it's over. He's not an option. If there's any Yankee fan watching this that thinks like there's a shot of Didi coming back, they're going for the big fish.
All right, look. If he's a free agent,
he's a little fish.
He could get a minor league contract, and
I think he gets a major league deal, but it's not it's not a lot of money.
It's gonna be close to the minimum.
It's like I think like 1 year, five or less million, right now.
I would say less at this point. He hasn't been
five or less. Like
he hasn't been
max.
Good in a couple of years.
I think incentives will be in there, but I think five or less, because his defensive numbers have tanked. And, you know, he's never walked much. And like, you know, now that there's no juice ball, can we expect this guy to be 25 home run hitter? No. So, the odds are against Didi right now.
I hope it works out for him though. I really do like the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
You know what he should do is he should do, you know, that Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge commercial where goes to play in a little league. And like that's what's going to get Didi's career back on track. He's just got to get more confidence. All right. Yeah. And there you go. So I figured out Didi Gregorius's career. He's going to the Hall.
Bang.
Congratulations. You know, in that case, let's sign him.
All right. So do we have any other remaining thoughts about the offseason right now? Or
I say this quite frequently. I never have thoughts.
Okay.
So, you know, it just shoots out.
Yeah.
So
it's a no.
Go for it.
The real question is, the next episode, are we going to be reacting to a Yankees move? What do you guys think?
I'm going to say yes.
I think so, too.
I'm not going to say it's a guaranteed major move, but they're going to make moves before December 1st. I have no doubt there. Whether it's them. The thing is, they have to clear some 40-man spots, and Tom is raising his hand. Yes, Tom.
Yeah. Give me one second.
Yeah.
We already sort of made a move. We signed Joely back.
Oh, we didn't even.
How
did we forget?
And we didn't DFA Gardner, but we declined his option. He declined his option. So there were a few transactions that were made over the course of our little hiatus, getting this set up, and so.
And you forgot we lost Greg Allen. Andrew Velasquez,
dude, that hurt.
Tim LaCastro. Oh,
Tim LaCastro went to the fucking Red Sox.
Stud for the Red Sox.
How did we let him get
it's
away?
It's gonna be like, oh terrible. Man, it's gonna be like position player.
It's a problem. It's a problem.
Like we let that guy. You know what? We have to get Bucks in for the pure fact that we lost our one speed guy.
You're right.
It's like we need that guy. We need to get Byron Bucks in or any person that has speed. We need him now more than ever because Tim LaCastro is also in like the 99th percentile in speed. So we're going to need to match it up with a 99th percentile in speed guy who can actually like start in the major leagues. And that's Byron Buxton. So that's our guy. We're getting Byron Buxton. Case closed. And we don't even need to sign him after the year. We can just like have him be here for a year if we don't want to make long-term commitments, according to Jeff Passan.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
All right. Well,
$5 billion franchise. There we go.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts? Or I think I got everything I wanted to say.
To answer your question, though, I do think our next episode I'm gonna make a prediction. I'm gonna be specific too.
Wow,
I think I'm gonna agree with this.
By our next episode,
I think I know where you're going, but continue.
By our next episode, Matt Olson's the Yankee.
Yes. Okay.
I was gonna say yes.
I'm gonna say yes.
I don't think a shortstop signing by our next episode. No. But I think Olson gets traded by next Saturday.
And the thing is, with Olson too, just want to point out, who are the other teams making big offers for Matt Olson?
Red Sox potentially, Brewers potentially.
I think the Red Sox are just gonna re-sign Schwarber.
Right.
You know, if they get Olson, we're signing Schwarber. We're gonna be like, like we're not letting you guys off the hook like that. But yeah, I think Olson's a Yankee, and it seems like our products match up with what they would need.
I agree.
And also, I think our farm system's stronger than any of our potential competitors as well.
Yeah.
So like, we actually have a good farm. It's actually good. So we can actually make these trades now, and it's very exciting because I've lived years where the Yankees didn't have a farm system, and like, I also remember the year in which we didn't get Cliff Lee because we didn't want to trade Eduardo Nunez. And, you know, trade your prospects, folks. I want Matt Olson. And we haven't had a first base option since Mark Teixeira, a long-term first base option since Mark Teixeira. So let's have that because it's a very valuable thing. So
yeah. And I also feel like every year, like, when there's a big first baseman on the trade market, like, there's never really much of a trade market for a first baseman. You know, it just always seems like most contending teams that are like going for it always have like the first baseman is always like they already have him, you know, like a good first baseman.
Exactly. That's why I don't see the Yankees. Man. Yeah, this the Yankees aren't going to miss out on Olson. I really don't think they are.
Freddie Freeman, Yuli Gurriel this year, right? Those were the two first basemen. What was the World Series last year? Last year, the Rays didn't have a great first baseman.
The Rays don't have great anything.
They had Muncy, though. The Dodgers had Muncy, and they won the World Series. So there you go.
Yeah.
And then 2019, what was 20?
Nationals.
They had Zimmerman. Year. Zimmerman had a nice year for himself that year. He had like a kind of a one last hurrah kind of year. And then the Astros obviously had Gurriel. 2018 was the Red Sox year. They had like Mitch Moreland, who was on like a heater that year.
Yeah.
And against the Dodgers, they had Muncy. Yeah, just get a first baseman is what we're saying. I don't have to go through it, but like, get a first baseman. Have, you know, he is in the top five first baseman. He is. Like, he's that good. Defensively, offensively. Well, let's get that guy and let's get him signed up and let's have that first base. I never want to have to deal with like first base ever again. It's been like a decade, man, where I'm like, Bird didn't work out, unfortunately. At least
Voight had a stretch where it worked out.
He had a nice stretch.
We thought we had the guy. I think there was a time where
I
believed it.
I want a two-way player at first base, and that guy is a two-way player at first base.
Yeah.
Get me that guy. And, you know, he also plays some corner outfield. Did you know that?
Really?
I didn't.
He actually like played in right field for a little bit. It's like, interesting. So Joey Gallo, get in line, pal. Or else you're gonna have Matt Olson doing double duty. So yeah. Other than that, Matt Olson's gonna be Yankee by next episode. That's my call.
I like it.
All right, I agree with your call, Tom. I really do. Well, I think that's it. This has been fun as always.
My final words. Well, I think that's it. I'm on my deathbed. Well, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think we're done. I mean, I hope everyone that actually listened enjoyed. This has been a pleasure as always. But till next time, this has been another episode of the Yankee Center Podcast. And we will see you all next time with Matt Olson on the Yanks because Tom is never wrong.
Yeah.
Don't quote me.
Nope. Tom said it.
Don't touch yourself, man.
Tom's never wrong. All right.
Yeah, man.
See ya.
Peace.
Peace. Yeah, let me hit that.